High Five Casino.
High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at high5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
Well, we're coming to your city. Gonna play our guitars and sing you a country song. We'll all be flying higher than a jet airliner. And if you want a little bang in your yin yang, come along.
Young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word computer is.
Well, in terms of his campaign, you know, I am thinking back, and other people are making this reference, that this may be Biden's Vietnam.
If Roe v. Wade can fall, anything can fall. Social Security can fall. And God help us all, but democracy itself can fall.
The clock is ticking. T-minus 179 days left till you get to vote.
Yeah, we're coming to your city.
From coast to coast, from border to border, from sea to shining sea, Sean Hannity is on.
All right, thanks, Scott Shannon. Hour two, Sean Hannity Show. Toll free, our number is 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. An effort started yesterday by conservative House Republicans, along with the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, legislation that is aimed at blocking non-citizens from voting in U.S. elections. It may surprise you that it didn't become law. It got stopped in the courts. But in New York City, for example, they wanted to allow illegal immigrants to vote in local elections. In D.C., we just had recently the city council there voting to allow illegal immigrants to vote in local elections. But anyway, they held a big press conference yesterday with the leaders in the House and the Senate. It's being spearheaded by Congressman Chip Roy in the House and Senator Mike Lee in the Senate. And the bill obviously comes amid this flood of what are illegal immigrants, over 10 million unvetted Joe Biden illegals. I'll keep repeating, tens and tens of thousands from our top geopolitical foes, and that would be China and Russia. That would be Egypt and Afghanistan and Yemen. That would be Iran. That would be Syria. And they're all flooding into the country, which means that, unfortunately for all of us, that it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when this country is going to be attacked again. I have no doubt in my mind, and I pray to God that I'm wrong, but I know I'm not. Now the issue comes down to, okay, well, Democrats, they don't want voter ID. Why not? They don't want signature verification. But this bill obviously now has become important and necessary amid this flood of Joe Biden unvetted illegal immigrants in the country. And Democrats fighting hard to allow illegal immigrants. I mean, think about this. It makes no sense, does it? Why would they be allowed to vote in any election? And by the way, it's not just New York and D.C. Other parts of the country have been dealing with this as well. Anyway, Congressman Chip Roy of Texas is back with us. Congressman, great to have you. Thank you for being with us. I can't even believe we're at a point in this country where this has to be even considered as law. I can't believe we're at a point in this country where You need an ID, for example, to go visit. If I wanted to go visit you in Congress, I'd need a picture ID to be able to get in the Capitol. The last time I voted before I exited New York and became a full-time resident of Florida this year, you know, sure enough, I walked in. Hi, Mr. Hannity. How are you? And I start to pull out my wallet. Oh, you don't need an ID. I'm like, oh, figures, right? Anyway, Chip Roy, welcome back to the program. Tell us the status of all this and what you're planning to do here.
Sean, great to be on. And yeah, you just laid it out perfectly well, as usual. And yesterday, I just want to say, was, I think, a really good day for what I think ought to be a strong six-month run of Republicans demonstrating how radical and extreme the radical progressive Democrat agenda really is. We had two things yesterday. One, a press conference that you just described, where we put forward with Speaker Mike Johnson standing there with me, Senator Mike Lee, who's doing the Senate version of the bill you just described, which we call the SAVE Act, which is designed to say that it will be federal law to require proof of documentary proof of citizenship when you register to vote in federal elections, and that we want to make sure that that only citizens are therefore able to vote, and that states are able to enforce that law, which currently they're not able to. There is a federal law now that says that only citizens vote, but in the motor voter laws, it prohibits the states from doing the things necessary to check that citizenship, which is crazy. We've had good bills to say that will allow states to do it. This bill goes further because of the times where we stand today to just say, look, it is our duty in Congress to require that if you're voting in a federal election, you're going to have to show proof of citizenship. That's it. Guess what? That is an 87% issue if you poll it. Like 80% of Democrats support that, Sean. It's off the charts. So we put that out there. I hope we can move that through the House. We're going to try to do that in the next couple of weeks. Speaker Johnson is demonstrating great leadership on that point. And then hopefully we'll send it to the Senate and see what they do. I mean, look, my guess is they'll oppose it and not bring it up. But you know what? Good luck explaining that. The second thing that we did yesterday was we passed a bill on the floor of the House to require that we check citizenship status in the census and then only use citizens when we do apportionment of our members of Congress. Literally on a party line vote, 202 Democrats unanimously opposed.
202 to 206. You can't get one Democrat, not one, that supports this? Not one?
It's shocking, but very revealing of the current state of the radical progressive Democrats that has been, frankly, undermining every bit of what we've been trying to do for the last 2 years. I have been, and we don't need to get into this in detail, obviously, at times, a critic of Republicans not pushing harder at times. But I want all the listeners, all the conservatives out there to understand, we have held the ball on our side of the field, meaning we've had flat spending on non-defense. We increased defense spending by cutting the IRS. We ended any discussion of amnesty. We moved a good border security bill. We now have passed this legislation to try to fix what's going on with our apportionment of our members of Congress. And by the way, the Electoral College for President. And these radical progressive Democrats want none of it. They blocked us at every turn. They stopped HR 2. They fought us on spending. They're fighting us on this common sense proposal to make sure that our voting rolls are protected and to make sure that our apportionment is for citizens only. This is the state of the modern Democratic Party, Sean.
So explain to me why anybody would be against this, because if you're not for election integrity laws as simple, as basic, and as fundamental as you are describing here, there's got to be a reason for it. And I would imagine that we're beginning to see that reason reveal itself when you see radical Democrats in New York City and D.C. and other leftist havens around the country as they unite together to allow illegal immigrants to vote in local elections. Because, as you rightly point out, there is federal law that prevents them from voting from in federal elections. But, you know, you're taking this a step further. You're saying if you want to register to vote, you've got to show that you're an American citizen. Why is that so onerous? Why is that considered unfair? What is their argument against that? Because why do I need to show I'm not exactly 18 years old anymore, and I don't look like I'm 18 years old. And yet I have to show an ID if I'm going to buy a Juul pod or if I'm going to buy a six pack of Coors Light or whatever else I might be drinking on any given day?
Yeah. Sean, look, I think what we're seeing is, remember, if you go back in time, we had differences with our Democratic colleagues, but you had Democrats like Barbara Jordan, right, a known civil rights champion and someone that broke ceilings from Texas. Barbara Jordan, you know, chaired a commission on illegal immigration under President Clinton, in which she made very clear the need for strong border security and to end the flow of illegal immigration because it was bad for immigrants, bad for America. We've had such a move away from common sense by our Democratic colleagues. Democrats voted for the law that currently exists that says only citizens can vote. But I bet if you held that vote today on just that question, they would have problems getting any Democrats to support it. We'll see. because obviously the overwhelming majority of Americans support it. But they're so out of touch because they don't believe in sovereignty. They don't believe in American exceptionalism. They don't believe, frankly, that we should even have a border at all. They don't believe we should have fences and restrictions and ability to come into the United States. And again, I remind people out there who I know I've got a lot of my, you know, faith friends, people of faith who are like, Chip, but you know, we got to make sure and everybody's all and they're welcome and we're a nation of immigrants. I know. But guess what? 51.5 million people in the United States today are foreign born. We allow in about 1 million a year legally. This trope that we're anti-immigrant and don't allow immigrants to come in is fake. It's not true. It's fake news. The fact is, we're a nation of immigrants, but we're at a point now where we're exploding the numbers of illegal immigration, known people who want to do us harm. And now on this issue, Democrats who want people to come here and vote, regardless of their citizenship, as you pointed out, D.C., San Francisco, liberal havens, that's what they want. They're already doing it in state and local elections. They want to do it in federal elections. And that's why we have to act. We have a duty in a republic. Texas has to protect our vote against the radicals in San Francisco. And same Florida. You have to protect against the radicals in your former state of New York.
All right, quick break. Right back. More with Congressman Chip Roy of Texas. And then your calls on the other side, 800-941-SHAWN, if you want to be a part of the program. We continue now with Congressman Chip Roy, great state of Texas. You know, as I listen to you, what I like about this issue, and I've talked a lot about 90-10, or in your, this case, 87-13 issue, 80-20 issues, 75-25 issues. In other words, on all of these important issues of the day, I think it should be the business of the House to put all of these issues before every Democrat and Republican, for that matter, because with all due respect, Congressman, you have some weak rhino Republicans that I'm really fed up and disgusted with among your coalition. I really am. You were there the night. It was after Mike Johnson became Speaker. I brought everybody together and I said, you're going to succeed together or you're going to fail together. And I wasn't wrong in my prediction, but I would like to take every major issue from immigration, voting integrity issues, as you're bringing up here. I want to talk about late term abortion, taxpayer funded abortion. I want to talk about the economy and balanced budgets. I want to talk about defund, dismantle, no bail laws, etc. And support of Israel's right to win the war against terrorism that they're now engaged in, that Joe Biden has abandoned them on. And I'd like to get the Democrats on record before the election on November 5th, which is really before November 5th, because early voting by mail begins, you know, God knows how early this year. And we have all that on Hannity.com. But I think there should be a vote on every major issue so that the voters are very aware, you know, where every single candidate stands on every single issue, Republican and Democrat.
Well, Sean, I could not agree more. This is why I said I think yesterday was a great day for the next 6 months, where we align and we do what we need to do to demonstrate to the American people where there is a clear line of distinction between our Democratic colleagues and ourselves. Again, they are radical progressive Democrats who want wide open borders, who don't mind undermining the rule of law, who are fine putting criminals on the streets, who undermine police at every turn, who spend money at every turn, who want to increase your taxes, who want all to go down the list, all of the woke stuff, undermining the military, all the things. They are radically opposed to your way of life if you're a hardworking American. They're forgiving student loans. They're fueling all of this nonsense and the hatred and anti-Semitism on our campus.
By the way, didn't we have a Supreme Court ruling on the issue of student loans? I mean, don't we have laws that Joe Biden is not enforcing on the border? How is he getting away with all of that? Well, in part, he's getting away with it because you have weak Republicans that won't stand on principle on a lot of these issues, haven't supported people like Jim Jordan and James Comer in their investigations and the work that they've been doing. Obviously, you know, I think it's clear the quid pro quo with Joe and Bree. Well, why would a vice president go against the administration policy, leverage $1 billion taxpayer dollars to get a prosecutor in Ukraine fired, unless you find out that his drug addict son, who has no experience in oil, energy, gas, coal, Ukraine, is getting paid millions by a big oil conglomerate in Ukraine. I mean, all of this stuff should be no-brainers for Republicans, but You know what? You have a coalition there of left-wing Republicans that are no help.
No, that's exactly right. And that's an important point without going too far backwards, because we need to look forwards and beating Democrats. But this is where, to some degree, both Kevin McCarthy and Mike Johnson's hands are certainly, if not tied, they were undermined by certain members of the conference who just vote the wrong way. Let me give you an example. We forced all those votes last year on appropriations bills. We were changing the House in a good way. One of the votes we had in September was when we had a vote on defunding UNRWA entirely. Now, we had worked into the base bill language I put forward to undo a lot of UNRWA's damage, but we had a full defund vote 3 weeks before, less than 3 weeks before the 10-7, the October 7th attacks on our friends in Israel. Eight Republicans voted against that. There are numerous examples I could give you, Sean, where we're trying to fight to actually wrestle control of the party back away from the uniparty and some weak Republicans. The bottom line is, the answer to your question, until Republicans figure out that you have to unite to use the power of the purse to force change from an executive branch that's not following your rules or following what you put forward or following the law, then you're never going to change it. Anthony Scalia gave a great speech on this, and I'm happy to send it to you, where he made this whole point when people are complaining about the court not fixing some things. He's like, look, we can fix certain things when it's a violation of law, but Congress has to flex its muscle to stop an executive branch that's out of control. So here we are. We're putting forward now great legislation on making sure only citizens can vote. We're going to keep pushing that issue. We're going to keep pushing border security. We have the spending fight here, and for the fiscal 25, we probably need to kick a CR into next year so we can focus on getting President Trump elected and then fix all of this then.
Well,
that's where the clock is now.
You got 179 days, Congressman. Work hard. We need you. We appreciate your time. Congressman Chip Roy, Texas. Thank you, sir. 800-941-SHAWN is our number if you want to be a part of the program.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Woo!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high-five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino. High Five Casino.
High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at HighFiveCasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at High5Casino.com.
High Five Casino.
All right, 25 to the top of the hour. We're going to get to your calls here in just a second. I mean, Biden is so detached as it relates to the economy, so clueless and out of touch. Oh, Americans have the money to spend when told that grocery prices are up 30%. Now, this became a disaster of an interview on fake news CNN. This is why they don't want Joe giving interviews, except for Howard Stern and The View. This is why Joe Biden, you know, he can't walk without looking decrepit. So that's why they try to surround him as he walks to and from Marine One. This is why he can barely get up the little boy stairs on Air Force One. This is why, oh, we're going to do shorter speeches, quality over quantity, because he can't give a speech. He can barely, you know, string together five sentences, for crying out loud. But he's asked about, you know, okay, prices are up, grocery prices alone. Now, I go grocery shopping myself, or occasionally when I'm lazy, I use Instacart, which I kind of like too. But I like to go grocery shopping. I don't know why. I'm a loser. But anyway, prices are up significantly. I'm not saying I can't afford it, but when 60% of my fellow Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, and I live that way for a pretty long period in the beginning of my adult life, it sucks. I'm telling you, it sucks. Imagine if you have kids and you live in that way, it sucks that much more. And by the way, is the illegal immigration is now boosting mortgage rates. You know, this is why Gallup has pointed out Americans expect home prices to increase. Yeah, of course they're going to increase, you know, and people aren't buying homes. That's another problem. And then here's Biden on the economy. Oh, we've turned the economy around. No, you haven't. And it's not the strongest in the world. He's just flat out lying to us. Listen.
You're aware of many of these, of course. The cost of buying a home in the United States is double what it was when you look at your monthly costs from before the pandemic. Real income, when you account for inflation, is actually down since you took office. Economic growth last week, far short of expectations. Consumer confidence, maybe no surprise, is near a two-year low. With less than 6 months to go to Election Day, are you worried that you're running out of time to turn that around?
We've already turned it around. We have the strongest economy in the world. Let me say it again, in the world.
Although GDP last week was far short of expectations.
Oh, it wasn't. Look, GDP is still growing. Look at the response of the markets.
But there's real pain. I mean, grocery prices are up 30%, more than 30% since the beginning of the pandemic. And people are spending more on food and groceries than they have at any time, really, in the past 30 years. I mean, that's a real day-to-day pain that people
feel. It really is, and it's real. But the fact is that if you take a look at what the people have, they have the money to spend.
Now, David Axelrod said, oh, no, he's made progress on the economy. No, he's not made progress on the economy. He just dismisses low consumer confidence. The last 2 months, respectively, we've had an increase of inflation, the consumer price index, year over year, up 3.2% the first month, then 3.5% the second. That's why you're not going to get any rate cut this year. But there was something that Axelrod said that I did take note of. He pointed out that Joe's arrogance and his pride may cost him the election. Why? Because he's out of touch with reality. Listen.
They're experiencing it through the lens of the cost of living. And he is a man who's built his career on empathy. Mm. Why not lead with the empathy? And I think he's making a terrible mistake. You know, it may not be, if he doesn't win this race, it may not be Donald Trump that beats him. It may be his own pride.
That is not the America that Joe Biden is describing that every American is facing. And yeah, there's a lot of arrogance and pride. And probably, you know, because I doubt he reads on his own very much. Probably, you know, the people around him that are covering for his decrepit state and his cognitive decline, probably those people are the ones filling his head full of garbage and nonsense and lies. Anyway, 800-941-SEAN, our number if you want to be a part of the program today. Let's go to Dave in Ohio. Dave, we love our friends in Ohio. Dave, you're a great American. God bless you. God bless America. And I want a full report. I bet you know who I'm talking about there.
How you doing, Sean?
Have you ever listened to Willie Cunningham?
Willie Cunningham, no, I have not. I have not.
All right. He's a radio icon of all time and a one of the most successful, longest running hosts in the country. Dear friend of mine. Love him to death. And you can catch him Sunday nights around the country. Does a syndicated show and he's on the big one, LW in Cincinnati, our competitor. I shouldn't mention them, but I can't help it. I love the guy. But that's how he talked. Sean Hannity, God bless you. God bless America. I want a full report. Anyway, that's how he introduces me. What's on your mind today?
I'm just really baffled by the way we're treating one of our closest allies. And it just does not make sense to me how this administration can act like this.
It defies all logic. Look, let me tell you something that Israel's not asking for. They're not asking for American boots on the ground. They're not.
Nope.
They're actually willing to pay for the munitions and the resupply of weapons that they need desperately. They are in a war for their survival against radical Islamic terrorists and that killed 1,200 in a single day and that took hundreds hostage into Gaza. We don't know if they're dead or alive, including Americans. And all Joe Biden is doing is saying, well, no, we'll let you defend yourself, but you can't, you have to fight the war that we're going to dictate that you fight. And he did the same thing to Zelensky as he gave him, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars, whatever the final number is. It is repulsive. It is an American president abdicating his role as the leader of the free world and surrendering against the war on terrorism. And as a result, he is simultaneously emboldening the world's worst terrorists, the number one state sponsor of terror, Iran, and the world is noticing. Our allies won't trust us moving forward, and our enemies won't respect us moving forward. He's emboldening terrorist organizations by doing this. It is a catastrophic, you know, the consequences are incalculable how bad this is.
It is, because what's going to happen when we need help? That's what's on my mind. What's going to
When did America, you know, decide that we're only going to play defense in the war on terrorism? Because that's what he's forcing Israel, trying to force Israel to do. Now, Israel will find a way to win their war. They're not going to let Joe Biden stop that. And what I won't even, I know too much. I have too many good sources. Israel is going to get the weaponry that they need. They may not get it from us because Joe Biden has surrendered. Joe Biden is weak and frail, and Joe Biden has given in to the radicals in his party. Those people that are responsible for October 7th that were funded by Iran, let me tell you, if they had their way and they wiped Israel off the map as their charter calls for and destroyed Israel, let me tell you, who do you think is next? What do you think they stop there? You think they're done there? Or are they more emboldened than ever to come get us again like they did on 9/11/01? What do you think the natural result of that is?
That is exactly what they're planning. That is exactly what is in the back of their heads right now. They're going to try their best to wipe Israel off the face of the planet and then come after us. And that is basically the only thing standing in their way.
Well, I got to tell you something. This is a low moment for the cause of liberty and the cause of freedom. And Joe's had a lot of low moments, and we're experiencing the pain of all of his bad decision making. He's been on the wrong side of every foreign policy issue for the last 40 years. Bob Gates said it, a Democrat. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate your call, buddy. 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. I have some breaking news. Do you see gold? By the way, Linda, have you been watching gold prices? One high, new high after another. It's crazy, right?
It's unreal. Unbelievable.
I told you years and years ago that from the time I was able to start saving money in my life, when I went living paycheck to paycheck and I could start saving, I always took a small portion of my savings and put it into gold and silver. All right, back to our busy phones we go. Arizona. We're going to need Arizona in 179 days and the voting days leading up to it. How are you, Ted? Glad you called.
Excellent, Sean. I have some questions for you. I need education.
Okay, whatever I can do to help, I am here to serve. I am a public servant.
Yes, and I'd like to redress my government, but they wish to just hang phones up on me and refuse to answer my question. So let me pose it to you, and let me see what you have to say about it. Didn't you serve our government, too?
Did I serve in what capacity? No, I've never been in government. Nope.
No military or old government?
I have not been in the military. They probably wouldn't take me at the time that I might have been eligible, but no, I have not. And you know, by the way, that's like less than 1% of the population has ever served in the military. You may not know that. And our all-volunteer military has been the greatest fighting force on the face of the earth, although I've done a lot of work with military groups, a ton of them, and I still do.
Right. Well, here's my question, and it's, once again, election interference. I want to know why my and yours, we paid for, the FBI, is not investigating the court overseeing this trial for paper documents. It has been corrupted. The judge corrupted himself, and the prosecutor, I don't even think he's got the capacity to even try a case like this. But I needed your opinion on that, for the fact that two of their biggest witnesses are one is lying straight up. She's lying. And the other one has been convicted of lying. How can they do this in the United States? And I want to know your opinion on the 10th Amendment, of what powers that the Constitution gives me under the 10th Amendment at the end of this 10th Amendment.
Well, look, you're asking a lot of questions at once here. What you are witnessing, what we're all witnessing, is what we call lawfare. Okay? So understand what it is. You have heard me talk a lot about the weaponization of our legal system. You've heard me talk a lot about it. You've heard me talk about a politicized and weaponized Department of Justice. Okay? And that is, this is what we're experiencing here. You have the third highest ranking DOJ official in Biden's own Department of Justice that left that prestigious position to go down to New York, or go up to New York from DC, just to prosecute the case against Joe Biden's opponent in this election. That ought to tell you everything. We had issues involving the daughter of the judge and whether or not financially the family may benefit in terms of her work, et cetera, et cetera. You have a judge that himself has donated to Biden in 2020. We now know that the wife of this ex-Biden Department of Justice official, who is serving as the top prosecutor in this case, donating thousands of dollars to Biden's 2020 campaign. That just came out today that we learned. So why is it happening? Because this is what they have designed. This is what they want. This is their way, and it's now backfiring against them. Every case now hangs in the balance and is likely not. None of these other cases, I don't think, are going to be tried before November 5th. It's not going to happen. And for the reasons that we've stated, the tainted evidence as it relates to the document case in Florida. Fonnie Willis now likely to be taken off as the lead prosecutor in Georgia. That case is dying. We're waiting two Supreme Court decisions that would impact the Washington case. Now, as it relates to the 10th Amendment, it expresses the principle of federalism or states' rights by stating that the federal government has only those powers that are delegated to it by the Constitution. All other powers not forbidden to the states by the Constitution are reserved to each state or to the people. Legal scholars have looked at this, a whole lot of different ways about the principles of federalism. And, how can it be applied in terms of a judicial interpretation? I think, that's up to the courts to decide. I don't see any quick remedy using the 10th Amendment, but it's certainly, I think, relevant in a lot of ways. And, the fact that you have coordination, why were all these trips made by local prosecutors in Georgia and elsewhere? Why were they going up to the White House and meeting with chief counsel for the president of the United States, or counsel for the president of the United States? Were they coordinating? I'd love to see those emails and those text messages. I'm sure they no longer exist, but it seems like coordination to me. At least it looks like it. Can't prove it, but it looks like it to me. Certainly should be investigated, but you raise a lot of good points. And right now we have to live through this. And I'll state it again. Donald Trump can't get a fair trial in New York. Not under these circumstances. He wouldn't get a fair trial in D.C. if it ever happens, and he wouldn't get one in Fulton County, Georgia. And it's just a sad state of affairs. This election, everything is on the line. I can't say it any more passionately than I'm saying it here. I just can't.
High Five Casino.
High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at highthenumber5casino.com.
High Five Casino.